So week number three of prayer. The first week of prayer, we talked about opening ourselves to God. Trying to push all of the clutter away from our lives for even a brief few moments so that we can just be in the presence of God without having all the noise, the confusion, the chaos that so often fills our lives. Then last week we talked about how prayer is not asking for what we want, but asking God to change us in ways that we cannot imagine. So prayer is a way for us to claim some responsibility. That we don't just ask God to do this, do that, do something else out there, but instead we say, you know what, we can be part of the solution. And so we need to figure out how to do that. So that's why we ask God to change us in ways that we cannot imagine, that God will show us how we can address whatever the situation is. This week I want to talk about how prayer is tuning ourselves in to God's intention for humanity, God's desire for humanity. That we are not just figuring, well, I just want to pray for this just because it's what I want. But instead, we try and listen to what God wants, not only for us as individuals, but for all of humanity. Solomon became king, and he became king when he was young. He was a young man. He was in his late teens or early 20s when he became king. And my guess is that especially trying to follow in his father's footsteps, his father was David. And David is considered to be the greatest of all of the Israelite kings. And so here is Solomon trying to follow in the footsteps of the man who was considered to be the greatest of all of the Israelite kings. And my guess is that Solomon felt a little bit overwhelmed to suddenly have all of that responsibility thrust upon him. And so he went to offer sacrifices, and while he was doing that, he had a vision, and God came to him in that vision, and God said, Solomon, ask whatever you want, and I will grant that to you. And Solomon could have asked for all kinds of things, and there were any number of kings who followed Solomon who asked for all of the wrong stuff, and they made a mess of the Israelite empire. But Solomon had something in him already. And he said, you know, I'm young, I'm inexperienced, and this job that you have set before me is huge. And so what I want more than anything else is wisdom, so that I can do the right thing, so that I can rule this great nation the way you intend it to be ruled. And our story says that God was pleased with Solomon's request, so pleased that he said, oh, I'm also going to give you all this other stuff as well, which is always nice and sometimes makes us wonder too, well, if I get wisdom, then do I get all this other stuff? But Solomon tuned himself in to God's desire for the nation of Israel. He didn't want to just do it for himself. Oh, great, I get to be the king. Yee-haw. I get all this great stuff. I get to live in this wonderful palace. I get all this furniture and all of these wives and all of this other stuff. He wasn't concerned about it. He wanted wisdom. He wanted to be able to discern God's will for not only him, but for this entire nation that he was ruling. In the gospel reading, Jesus is talking about prayer. And he's talking about the God who wants to give us what we want. And he uses the example of a parent. And when a child goes and asks a parent for bread, A good parent is going to give a child bread. And when that child asks for a fish, a good parent is going to give that child a fish. And Jesus said, if you as human beings know how to give good gifts, then how much more does God know how to give good gifts? But fish and bread are also vital to life. And so a child coming to you and asking you for something, you are going to say, is this going to be good for this child? 10 minutes before dinner, a child comes and says, I want some candy. I'm hoping that you're going to say, no, dinner is coming. The child is not in tune with your intentions. Hopefully, your intentions are to raise children that are healthy, that are responsible, that are disciplined, that know how to take care of themselves. That is your intention for this child. And so if the child comes and asks you for something that is not part of that intention, you probably aren't going to give it to that child. But if that child comes to you and says, I would really like a plate of vegetables for dinner. I don't know if any child would do that, but they might. I don't know. Then you're going to say, yeah, that is great. That is fantastic. I've just spent the last hour cooking this wonderful dinner for you, and I can hardly wait to set it down in front of you so that you can partake. When we tune ourselves in to the intentions, the desires that God has for us, then God grants us our prayers. God says, yeah, this is what I want. The reason that I tell you at the end of every single service that God wants you to do well is because I honestly and truly believe that. God wants you to do well. God wants you to be successful. Now, that success is not necessarily the success that all the rest of the world sees as success. When we think of people who are successful, we think of people who are rich and people who have big houses and people who have large cars or many cars or fast cars, people whose business is doing really well. All of those kind of things are part of what society says makes a successful person. But that is not necessarily what God sees as success. God's intention for us is not necessarily that we have a $200,000 a year job, or that we live in this great mansion. God's intention for us is that we will live in the middle of loving community. God's intention for us is that we will show compassion, that we will do justice, that we will have mercy. All of those things are part of God's intention for us. They are the things that make for a successful life in the sight of God. And so when our prayer is, Lord, help me to do justice. Lord, help me show mercy. Lord, help me demonstrate kindness. Those are the times when God will answer your prayers with a loud and resounding yes. Now, it's not always easy for us to determine exactly what it is that makes up justice or mercy or compassion or love or kindness or any of those things. Those are not always clear black and white choices. Sometimes there's some difficulty in making some decisions about that. And once again, this is a role that our community of faith, our family of faith, plays in our lives to help us figure that out. It's not always crystal clear what God intends for us. And so we have a family of faith that supports us, surrounds us, and helps us to make some of those choices. These are the people that we can have conversation with and say, you know, I've got this thing ahead. I have to make this decision about this, and I'm kind of confused. There's, you know, so many shades of gray on all of this, and I need to try and figure this out. And there are people around who have wisdom, who can help us move through and help us make a good decision about what God intends for us. Prayer is opening ourselves to God's intentions for us. We pray not for what we want, but we pray for what God wants. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus prayed fervently, drops of blood coming out. He was so intense in his prayer. And he prayed, Lord, take this cup away from me, because he knew what was coming. But he also added to that, not my will, but yours. Jesus tuned himself in to the intentions that God has for all of humanity. This is where our prayers need to be as well. Be able to see the larger picture, to ask God to help us be the person God intends us to be, to use the gifts that God has given us, to somehow or other use the resources that God has given us for God's purposes, not for ours. Why we pray on our knees. Because it puts us into the position of opening ourselves to God's intention. Amen.